It's spring 2003, and the Natural Products Expo is underway in Anaheim, California. A middle-aged man, dressed in a black Mr. Rogers-style zip-up cardigan, carefully wanders the stalls, perusing dietary supplements and herbal teas. He's Manoj Bhargava, a multimillionaire plastics factory owner who spent his 20s as a Hindu monk. Now, he's looking to make another radical pivot, this time into nutritional products. Suddenly, a sales rep jumps out in front of him.
Hi, sir. Can I interest you in a free energy drink? It'll keep you productive and focused for hours.
Bhargava takes a few swigs from the 16-ounce bottle. It tastes okay, he thinks, but it's nothing special. He screws the cap back on and drops the bottle into his satchel. Bhargava feels the energy drink kicking in as he moves from booth to booth. He feels focused and alert, and he's still buzzing that evening when he returns to his hotel room. Intrigued, he retrieves the bottle from his bag. He looks at the ingredients list. Caffeine, taurine, B vitamins, all the usual energy drink ingredients. Still, Bhargava's impressed. But he's also puzzled. Why sell this drink in 16-ounce bottles? That's a lot to drink. Why do they assume that just because he's tired, he's also thirsty? It makes no sense. As he sits on his hotel bed, he wonders, what if the drink came in a small dose, like a shot of espresso? Bhargava envisions a concentrated energy drink sold in 2-ounce bottles. He imagines these bottles sitting next to cash registers across the land. After all, if you can down your energy booster in a single gulp, there's no need for it to be chilled. He pictures truckers and road trippers turning to his energy shot so they can avoid the extra restroom stops caused by large energy drinks. But what would he call this drink? Bhargava's not a showy guy, so he figures the drink's name should just say what it does. He looks at his watch. It's been 5 hours since he swigged the drink at the expo. 5-hour energy. That'll do. It's a small idea, but it's going to have a big impact. And what's more, Red Bull and Monster won't even see 5-hour energy coming until it's too late. From Wondery, I'm David Brown, and this is Business Wars. You're listening to the final episode in our series, Red Bull versus Monster Energy, Buzzkill. In the last episode, Red Bull stormed into America. But just when victory looked secure, a Californian beverage company hit back with a supersized rival called Monster Energy. Now both Monster and Red Bull risk getting sidelined by the new guy in town, who sent a jolt through the market with a small but mighty drink. It's summer 2008, and Manoj Bhargava sits in his office in a drab business park in Farmington Hills, Michigan. He's on the phone to his lawyers as the mastermind behind 5-Hour Energy listens. A grin breaks across his face.
That is good news. Very good news. Thanks for the update.
Bhargava hangs up and opens his desk drawer. Inside are dozens of small energy shot bottles shrink-wrapped in a variety of lurid colors. He rummages through this kaleidoscopic scene and pulls out one called 6-Hour Power. Bhargava's suing the company behind it for trademark infringement, and the case is going well. He puts the bottle on his desk and grabs a small square of white cardstock. He scrawls a skull and crossbones on the card using a black felt-tip pen. Bhargava then takes the 6-Hour Power bottle and card over to a Formica bookcase. The shelves are full of competing energy shot bottles. Next to each one are cards bearing felt-tip eulogies. It's a graveyard of competitors. Bhargava adds the bottle of 6-Hour Power and his skull and crossbones doodle to the shelf. He steps back to admire his mausoleum of defeated rivals. and smiles. 5-Hour Energy is growing fast. Just 5 years after its inception, Bhargava's One Gulp energy drink is generating hundreds of millions of dollars every year. Sales are up 400% from last year. He owns 90% of the energy shot market. Many have tried replicating 5-Hour Energy's success, but Bhargava has defeated them all. And every time a rival falls, another bottle joins his bookcase graveyard. But Bhargava knows deadlier competition is coming. If Bhargava is going to stay on top, he has to fend off the two titans of the energy drink world. 5-Hour Energy and the ensuing copycat boom took Red Bull and Monster by surprise, but now they want in. Monster strikes first, launching an energy shot called Monster Hitman in September 2008. The following summer, Red Bull energy shots hit convenience stores. But Bhargava's got an ally powerful enough to keep Red Bull and Monster at bay.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Bhargava's persuaded Walmart to put 5-Hour Energy in checkout aisles in all its 3,600 stores. Those checkouts are the most valuable piece of retail estate in America and a beachhead that keeps 5-Hour Energy on top. Monster and Red Bull appeal to a younger, under 30 crowd who prefer the larger cans of these drinks. They can't make much of a dent in the 5-Hour Energy market for adults who chug this stuff to stay on point at work. Nor can they beat 5-Hour Energy on taste. By 2010, it's clear that Red Bull and Monster can't stop Bhargava. The combined sales of Hitman and Red Bull energy shots are less than a tenth of what 5-Hour Energy's making. Come 2012, both Hitman and Red Bull energy shots are off the market. Not that Red Bull boss Dietrich Mateschitz is worried. Red Bull's bouncing back from the brief moment in 2008 when Monster became America's leading energy drink. Red Bull's got a refreshed promotional strategy that's taking it where few brands dare to go. Summer 2011. A helicopter covered in Red Bull logos is swooping over the mountains of Chile's Patagonia region. As the chopper clears a craggy peak, the film crew and pro snowboarders inside strain to get a better view.
Terrain's pretty gnarly out there. I think the clouds are moving pretty quick. Looks heavy.
Below them is Darwin's Range, one of the most inhospitable places on Earth. Mountains extend skywards like crooked claws. The valley is full of vicious-looking shards of tall blue ice. The snowboarders are here to make a movie for Red Bull, a feature-length documentary called The Art of Flight, where they will take on some of the world's most dangerous slopes. They've already been to some challenging locations, but this one, it feels different. Now they understand why their guide didn't want to come here. He told them this is where the devil lives. Maybe he was right. The pilot interrupts their thoughts.
We're almost there. We got maybe 40 minutes before we have to leave. I'm going to drop you, and you've got to get moving right away. And if we wait too long, we won't have enough fuel to get back. And out here, no one will be coming to rescue us, okay?
Minutes later, the snowboarders are on their way. The boarders zigzag down a tight corridor of snow, bracketed by sheer rocky slopes. It's tough, but they can handle it. Then, they spot a problem, and it's coming up fast, a large patch of bare mountain in their path. The boarders grind to a halt, remove their boards, and start clambering down the mountain. Rock crumbles away as they try to find their footing. Eventually, they make it back to the snow, but they've lost precious minutes. The helicopter's already in the valley below, blades turning. The pilot's been crystal clear. He won't wait. He's not going to die out here, no matter how much Red Bull is paying. The boarders strap on their boards and shoot down the slope. But at the bottom, there's another problem. An iced-up stream that looks like a slow-moving Slurpee. They glance at the water and then to the helicopter. There's no time to waste. They throw their boards over the stream, plunge into the bone-chilling waters, and swim across. Shivering, they climb out of the water and run to the chopper, desperate to escape this hellhole. But back in the safety of the helicopter, still riding the adrenaline rush, everyone is pumped. As the helicopter lifts off, the camera crew gives the boarders a thumbs up. The footage is good. The boarders' moment of death-defying glory is captured for posterity, and they're one step closer to completing their movie. Red Bull's spending more than $2 million on making The Art of Flight, yet no one in the film drinks or even mentions Red Bull. The only sign of Red Bull's involvement are the logos on the helicopters, snowmobiles, and boarders' wool hats. Red Bull wants The Art of Flight to stand on its own merits. And it does. Upon its release in September 2011, the film immediately tops the DVD, Blu-ray, and iTunes movie charts. This film is part of Red Bull's new marketing approach, an approach built on the idea that there's a thrilling, high-octane world of Red Bull out there that you can connect with in all kinds of ways. You can watch Red Bull movies and YouTube videos, read its lifestyle magazine, listen to music from its record label, and support its sports teams. You can wear Red Bull clothes, attend action-packed Red Bull events, and, yes, even buy its drink. Red Bull's no longer presenting itself as just a beverage. Now, it's a mentality, a way of life built around brand values of speed, vitality, and adventure. And The Art of Flight? That's just the start. It's October 2012, and more than 50 million people are glued to their screens. They're all watching a live broadcast from Red Bull. They see a cone-shaped capsule reminiscent of the Apollo spacecraft. A huge white helium-filled balloon is lifting the capsule higher and higher into the air, past 90,000 feet, then higher still.
Felix, we're only at 100,000 feet. You still got 28,000 feet to go. The door will open when you reach ambient altitude of 128,000 feet.
And right now, inside the capsule is Austrian skydiver Felix Baumgartner. He's wearing what looks like a spacesuit. The door opens, and Baumgartner steps out onto the tiny ledge of the capsule and looks down. He's so high up that he can see the Earth's curve and the dark void of space. New Mexico lies 24 miles below. He braces himself, and then, with the world watching, he steps forward. As Baumgartner freefalls, the world spins around him as if he's in a washing machine. He feels like passing out. The speedometer on his wrist reads 843 miles an hour. He's falling faster than the speed of sound. There's no guarantee he'll live through this. The world holds its collective breath.
I have been falling for a long time.
Then, after more than 4 minutes of free fall, Baumgartner opens his parachute.
Felix in a stable descent.
And there you can see by the approaching shadow, he's just about there, and he's down on the earth safely.
New world record holder.
Cheers erupt from Red Bull Mission Control in Roswell. The Red Bull-sponsored daredevil lands safely. The stunt grabs headlines across the world, and the payoff for Red Bull is huge. The jump earns Red Bull more than $100 million worth of free media coverage. Sales of Red Bull rise 7%. In comparison, Monster's sponsorship of motocross bikers, bull riders, and monster truck events looks tame. But flashy stunts aren't Monster's style. Instead, Monster's using a cocktail of sponsorship deals, rock concerts, everyman brand ambassadors, and scantily clad Monster girls to build a more grungy image, an image that's converting Monster drinkers into loyal Monster fans. And it's working, especially with young men. Some identify with Monster's rough and tumble image so much, they're pledging permanent allegiance to the brand. Across the country, Monster fans are asking tattooists to ink the drink's Monster Claw logo onto their bodies. Monster might rarely seek the headlines, but its image is inspiring extreme customer loyalty. But that's not to say Monster's not making headlines. Quite the opposite. Trouble is, Monster's in the news for all the wrong reasons. And that's because its energy drink is being called deadly.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Tools and Weapons is a podcast exploring the promise and the peril of the digital age, hosted by Microsoft's vice chair and president, Brad Smith. His latest guest is Bayer CEO Bill Anderson. Though many of us know Bayer for its pharmaceuticals, they're also focused on crop science with the goal of making sure no one on planet Earth goes hungry. On Tools and Weapons, Brad and Bill talk about how the German company is using artificial intelligence paired with CRISPR technology to increase food production without fertilizers. Their efforts put AI and digital tools in the hands of farmers to get the most out of every acre on a hotter, more crowded planet. It's the latest conversation in a series that invites listeners to pull up a front row seat to some of the most important developments in technology today. You can check out this episode and a whole lot more of Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
December 16th, 2011. Anise Fournier and her friends are at the Valley Mall in Hagerstown, Maryland. Fournier's a 14-year-old girl with dark, shoulder-length hair and long bangs that creep into her eyes, rimmed with heavy black eyeliner. After checking out the clothes stores, the friends go to the mall's candy store. Fournier heads over to the drinks cooler and picks out a 24-ounce can of Monster Energy. She downs the extra-large can and heads home. The next day, she's back at the candy store, buying another super-sized Monster. It will be her last. At nearly 9 p.m. that same evening, Fournier suffers a heart attack while watching a movie at home. Unresponsive, she's rushed to a hospital and put into a coma to try and halt the swelling of her brain. She never wakes up. 6 days later, on Christmas Eve, her life support is switched off. The death certificate attributes her death to cardiac arrhythmia due to caffeine toxicity, complicating a pre-existing heart condition. The following year, Fournier's parents file a wrongful death lawsuit against Monster.
Monster Energy Drink. That's what the parents of 14-year-old Anise Fournier say killed their daughter. Now they're suing the beverage company.
The family really hopes that they can keep this from happening to anybody else.
Wendy Crossland.
Monster insists its drinks are safe and pledges to fight the lawsuit. Eventually, the company and Fournier's parents will reach an out-of-court settlement. But not before the legal action has whipped up a political storm. Fournier's death puts the energy drinks industry under the microscope. Concerns about the safety of energy drinks are rising. In 2008, more than 16,000 ER visits are linked to consumption of energy drinks. In December 2012, the Food and Drug Administration launches a probe into 5 deaths and a non-fatal heart attack linked to Monster. The news wipes 14% off the value of Monster's shares. The negative publicity hurts other brands too. The rapid growth of energy drink sales in the U.S. starts to slow. Politicians across the country are now talking about curbing the sale of energy drinks to minors. It doesn't take long before the leading energy drink brands are hauled before the Senate Commerce Committee. July 31st, 2013, Washington, D.C. Inside the grand marble and limestone Russell Senate office building, Red Bull and Monster are under attack. A parade of health experts are testifying to senators.
Caffeine-rich energy drinks can raise blood pressure, cause irregular heartbeats, and endanger teenagers with underlying heart conditions.
Another witness produces evidence that energy drink brands appeal to under-18s.
Research also shows 1 in 5 school children drink more than one energy drink every day.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin opens the assault.
Now you say you do not market your drinks to children. Well, we're veterans of the tobacco wars. Remember when the tobacco companies used to tell us, oh, we're not interested in kids. Well, we knew better. We're getting the same runaround from the energy drink companies.
To illustrate their point, the senators show the room a copy of Red Bull's Red Bulletin magazine. There's a 12-year-old motocross athlete on the cover. The senators also slam Monster for sponsoring action sports athletes under the age of 16 and urging people to pound down its drink. Monster CEO Rodney Sacks comes out fighting.
Monster does not market to children and never has. Our primary market involves motorsports, and the primary demographic for those sports is adults, not children or young teenagers. The science doesn't support the allegations being made against Monster Energy. The amount of caffeine in Monster is just half that of a grande cup of Starbucks coffee. More than 8 billion cans of Monster have been consumed safely worldwide since 2002.
Sachs is actually right about how Monster's caffeine content stacks up against Starbucks. But if he thinks Red Bull will back him up, he's wrong. Red Bull North America marketing boss Amy Taylor's got a surprise for both the senators and Monster. She produces a letter stating that Red Bull will voluntarily commit to a series of measures to ensure its drink is not marketed to children.
We will not market Red Bull to those under 18, and we will not sell our drink in containers larger than 12 ounces, provided that our competitors do the same.
It's a crafty move. Monster predominantly sells in 16-ounce cans. Its Monster size is core to its brand. Most Red Bull is sold in 8 and 12-ounce cans. Red Bull knows there's no way Monster will agree to match that promise. As a result, senators focus their bruising attacks on Monster rather than Red Bull. Despite the heat in the room, the Senate committee hearing leads to little change. Rather than seeking to impose regulations on energy drinks, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration adopts a wait-and-see approach to the issue. In the meantime, it urges the public to be wary. But as the talk of new regulations in the U.S. fades, America's love affair with these turbocharged beverages continues to grow. The craze Red Bull started is now a $55 billion a year global business. It's doubled in size in the 5 years since the Senate committee hearing. Today, the energy drink is ingrained in our culture. The logos of Monster and market leader Red Bull are hard to avoid, and millions guzzle down their pick-me-ups every day. But those wanting to kill the buzz around these chilled caffeine bombs haven't given up. Health studies continue to raise concerns about overconsumption of energy drinks, and campaigners keep pressing for curbs on their sale to under-18s, measures that have already been introduced in some European countries. For now, though, the high-octane race between Monster and Red Bull to power up the world is showing no signs of slowing down.
Hey, Prime members, you can binge every episode of Business Wars ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
From Wondery, this is Business Wars. We hope you enjoyed this episode. A quick note about the conversations that you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research. I'm your host, David Brown. Tristan Donovan wrote this story, edited by Emily Frost. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Jenny Lauer is our producer. Sound designed by Bay Area Sound. Our executive producer is Marsha Louie, created by Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.